Alrighty, here I am, and another thing. So I'm going to start this off just real quick. For those of you who know, I have a book out called Peyton's Choice, and it's about a 17-year-old girl who chooses to have an abortion. That's not the entire story. The entire story is really about Peyton and that she's a straight-A student. She has a 4.0 grade point average. She's been accepted into UCLA. She's a tall blonde who never found a boyfriend as a senior in high school, which is basically my story. I didn't get pregnant as a teenager. I've never been pregnant, so I've never had an abortion. But I did base Peyton's Choice on my life in many ways. Of course, I would take some of reality, I would take like a kernel of reality, and then I would spin a yarn out of that to create my story. But there's definitely kernels of truth all through Peyton's Choice. And she has sex for the first time. And that I remember when I was writing this book, I was slightly concerned about writing a sex scene with teenagers. I mean, the first real book I ever read was Forever by Judy Blume, my very, very favorite author as a young woman, as a young girl. And Forever was also a book about first-time sex and teen sex. So I did read that book before I started writing Peyton's Choice, but I was still a little nervous because I knew that, number one, my mother was going to read it. And even though my mother and I are like best friends and we don't shy away from controversial subjects, it's a little awkward to know that your mom's going to read this sex scene that you wrote, especially when it involves two teenagers. Anyway, the day that I wrote the sex scene, I was, like I said, I was a little nervous, but I said it was a Saturday and I sat down and actually it was really fun. I had a great time that day. I went on this ride and it was the first time, you know, writing, this was my first fiction book, and I don't know how many chapters I was in before I got to the sex part, but I would say that I really caught this groove, and it was a lot of fun, and I just got lost. I didn't conjure anything up. It kind of came through me. I saw the scene happening, and I just typed it down. So I, you know, as much as I'm proud of what I did and I had fun writing it, now I know that my dad's reading the book. And it's really awkward because, you know, he sent me a Christmas card and he said that he was halfway through and that he really liked it. I'm not sure if he really likes it. It was written for, you know, young women, young girls. He's certainly not the target audience. And I don't know if he has certain critiques or whatever, and I'm sure if he does, he'll tell me. But when I started thinking about him reading that book, I started remembering different, you know, just different things that I wrote. And then I thought, oh my God, I wrote that sex scene. And I, you know, I wrote this, there was this one particular scene where Peyton, the lead character, is looking at herself after she's had sex. She's looking at herself in the mirror and she's looking at her breasts and she's thinking, you know, these thoughts. And I thought, oh my God, that's just so weird that my dad's going to read that. So I just wanted to bring that up. And it's also a great plug for my book. If you're interested, it's on Amazon. And I got my first negative review, although I think it's funny because the negative review was 3 out of 5 stars. But they wrote something along the lines of typical abortion propaganda. And whatever this person wrote, I think they did read the book because she mentions that I was very disparaging to crisis pregnancy centers, which I don't think I was very disparaging. I just basically said the truth about them, which is that they will often promote lies. And but aside from that, this person who wrote the book, who I don't think there was a name attached to the Amazon account, said that she was very disappointed because she got her master's degree while she was pregnant, and it kind of sounded as if she was upset because you know, she thought the girl should have had I don't know, a choice, which she did, and that was the whole point. It was Peyton's Choice. So I got my first negative comment. If you read the book and you like it, I would love to have some positive reviews because I'm going to need all that I can get. Eventually, maybe some of these anti-choice groups will get a hold of it and then I'll get slammed. So if you like the book, you can visit my Amazon page, Kimberly A. Johnson, and that's Kimberly L-E-Y Johnson. And then you can read the book and give it a good review if you like it, but only if you like it. Okay. So moving on, I would like to address some more questions from some people on Facebook. And I'm going to go with Chris. Chris asks me to discuss why the term liberal has become synonymous with Democrats or seen as an insult in many instances. Well, it's become synonymous with Democrats because Democrats are liberal people. That's why. Same with progressive. I always have a problem, you know, progressive, liberal, Democrat, whatever you like to be called. And the reason I say that is because, sadly, the Republicans do such a great job of smearing the labels that we choose for ourselves. So we keep scrambling to find new labels, just like feminist. I'm a feminist. I'm always going to be a feminist, and I'm not going to shy away from that label. I'm not going to shy away from the term liberal or progressive or any of it. I think it's ridiculous to allow this group, the Republicans, to determine how we're going to identify. Because no matter what we say we are, they're going to turn it into a bad word because they don't like it. Well, tough shit. I am a proud fucking feminist liberal. So I think that's how everybody should view this. Don't be afraid. Don't let them determine how you define yourself. That's called losing. So don't do it. Don't do it. I always think it's important to stand up. My producer's looking at me funny, and I don't know what that means. I think it's important that everybody needs to just own their strength and own the name. Okay, the last comment that I will take is from Ted, and it's funny, his name is Ted Cruz, but it's not spelled the same. And he said, please address how Glenn Beck can fuck himself for having poured gas all over the place, threw the matches on it, and is now trying to be a voice of reason. Well, I take a slightly different approach. I mean, yes, I totally agree. Glenn Beck was behaving like a crazy lunatic for so long, and he did help to create the atmosphere that we're in right now. But I would much prefer to see somebody like him backtrack and call Trump out, then continue the notion that, you know, the Tea Party, the Republicans, whatever, all have the best ideas now. I'm grateful for anybody, I don't care who it is, that's going to speak out against this horrible orange fuckface that's going to be running the country now. So that's what I have to say. Instead of condemning the Republicans who are speaking out, I think that we don't necessarily have to applaud them. We don't necessarily have to, you know, treat them as if they're royalty or anything, but let's appreciate what they're doing. Just like Lindsey Graham. I mean, I never thought I would like Lindsey Graham, but now he seems like an awesome freaking guy because he's not afraid to stand up to Trump. He's not afraid to stand up to the Republicans and go against what his party wants. And I'd like to see more of that, because in the end, it comes down to the idea of, look, there's Republicans, there's Democrats. We disagree on ideology. We disagree on policy and how to get things done. But it's still the idea that we're kind of all in this together, so we have to figure out and meet in the middle. I'm happy to meet in the middle. We're never going to get 100% agreement with the population on anything. There's always going to be a divide. There's always going to be, no, it's better if you do it this way. No, it's better if you do it that way. But in the end, we kind of all want the same thing. Maybe, you know, not the Trump world, but the idea that we all want healthcare, affordable healthcare, or free healthcare, not really free, taxpayer healthcare, actually. Or we want, you know, affordable education. We all want to be able to save money for our retirement. We all want to be able to get Social Security in our retirement. So we all want the same things. It's really just a matter of how we go about it. Anytime anybody stands up against the incoming administration, I'm going to be grateful for it. And, you know, that's all I have to say about that, like Forrest Gump would say. And as I end this, I just want to say that I feel really torn when it comes to going back to what I started saying at the beginning of the free show. I feel torn between the Bernie people and the Hillary people, because I see both sides, and I see the argument from the Hillary supporters. I see the argument from the Bernie supporters.
Bitter clinging, proud clingers.
And I feel stuck in the middle. So there you go. Thanks for listening.
Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you. Yes, I'm stuck in the middle with you. And I'm wondering what it is I should do. It's so hard to keep the smile from my face. Losing control, yeah, I'm all over the place. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you. When you started out with nothing and you pounded, you're a selfish man. And your fans, they all come crawling, slap you on the back and say, please. Try to make some sense.